Hello, and welcome to Out in the Bay, gay radio from San Francisco. I'm Marilyn Pittman. We're celebrating 10 years of Out in the Bay April 29th at Oasis Cabaret in San Francisco. Live music, food, cocktails, the new Out in the Bay t-shirts, plus a live taping of this radio show with highlights and stories from the decade. Go to outinthebay.org and find out more. We'd love to meet you. My guest tonight is a comedy pioneer. If you were openly gay in your act during San Francisco's comedy explosion of the 1980s, you couldn't work. You wouldn't work. Nobody was out, not even Ellen DeGeneres. It was an era filled with names we know so well now. Robin Williams, Marc Maron, Bobcat Goldthwait, Will Durst, Rob Schneider, Dana Carvey, and Kevin Meaney, to name a few. But if you were out on stage, well, you couldn't make it. My guest is one of the first out comics ever. She has been on Logo TV, is an award-winning comedian, and has headlined women's festivals and gay events for years. She has lived to tell the stories. Her new solo show opens at The Marsh in Berkeley, May 1st, and runs Friday and Saturday. It's called Oh No, There's Men on the Land. Karen Ripley, welcome to Out in the Bay.
Why, thank you, Marilyn.
It's so funny. One of the funniest shows I've seen, I swear. Oh, no, there's men on the line. Now, just tell us why that title. What's that from?
Well, there was a festival, and when we got to the festival, the only men that ever came onto the land were the men who cleaned the porta-potties. And when the trucks with big tanks rolled onto the property, they would yell, men on the land, men on the land, and you'd hear it all throughout the festival, and that gave you an opportunity to either cover up your tits or your privates, I'm sorry, or whatever, I'm sorry, so that those women that did not want to, you know, were shy, or so, because a lot of people were basically naked.
A lot of people were naked. We're talking about lesbian feminist era of the 70s.
Yes.
Festivals where women would just take over a whole land area and camp and have no men at all.
Correct.
Men were not allowed.
Right.
Boy children were not allowed, except if they were under five or something, right?
Yeah, that had changed over the years where they had their own little camp.
Well, over the 40 years since the Michigan Festival began, which is ending its final, it's going to be the final year this year, the Michigan Festival is the most famous of all of them, but
correct.
There's been many arguments over whether you could even have transsexual women, and
right.
that was a big
right.
issue.
Right.
As well, there was an issue about whether you could have the S&M area, the bondage and discipline people. That was a whole issue for the feminists as well. So it's been a political environment, those lesbian festivals, hasn't it?
We've all learned a lot about each other. Let's just put it that way.
But it began as it was also an opportunity for you as a comic to perform.
Yeah, yeah. There were very few gay comics out there. And so
there were none, really. I mean, the gay entertainment was based on drag, mostly, and singing.
Yes, yes.
There was no stand-up.
Drag
brilliant,
queens, believe me.
But not real stand-up comedy.
No.
And as that exploded in the 80s, it exploded as well. It was during AIDS. It exploded as well in the gay community.
Yeah, Mr. Tom Amiano got, for me, the ball rolling on Valencia Street at Valencia Rose. And
here in San Francisco.
Yes. And
which is now a bicycle shop.
Right. And I was doing stand-up comedy at a little lesbian bar in Albany called the Bacchanal. I did sketches.
Albany, California, here?
Correct.
The Bacchanal. Was it a bar?
It was a bar run by two lesbians, and I told jokes, and then I said, can I bartend? And they let me bartend, and I think I
And
drank.
That was in the 70s?
I probably drank more than I sold, but it was an exciting time. Yes.
No, and you talk about that. You have a piece about that in the show. You want to do some of that for us?
Sure, sure. 1974, President Richard Nixon resigns. I read Ruby Fruit Jungle. When all you sell is beer and wine, you don't need to be a great bartender. Light, dark, red, white. It was an elegant old European-style lesbian bar called the Bacchanal. A dark mahogany-framed mirror, probably 15 by 30 feet behind the bar. It was gorgeous. All the way in the back of the rustic decor was a vintage pool table. If you wiggled the worn-out coin mechanism just right, all the balls would come out for free. Upstairs were tables and chairs. You could sit in the low light, make faces at your lover, or peer over the side like third graders at a dance, you know, too shy to engage at the women below. Women of all stripes. I mean, these hardcore lesbian lumberjack types. they'd say things. Craftsman makes the best, man. Nuh-uh, Black and Decker. And don't call me man. Women that wanted to be recognized for their brains and not their breasts. Oh, working class cowgirls. I'm going up to the land for a month to plant corn. You want to come? Well, just then, of course, a man would walk in the bar. He'd sit down. I'd say, hi, how you doing? Now, before he could say a word, I'd say, you know this is a lesbian bar, right? And you know all those beautiful women over there are going to ignore you. Yeah, right. No problem. No problem. We'll see you. So long.
And thank you. You're listening to Karen Ripley here on Out in the Bay. She's my guest. Her solo show opens May 1st at the Marsh Theater in Berkeley. You can find out more at themarsh.org or karenripleycomic.com. She's one of the first out comics here in the Bay Area and probably on the planet. Speaking of lesbian bars, you know, the Lexington Club is the last lesbian bar. It's closing. It's closed, or I guess this weekend is their big ta-da.
What's going on here?
Well, you know, it's the Mission and it's the rent and it's the city changing and it's...
Yeah.
And, you know, I guess lesbians don't go out as much, or they stay home, or I don't know. I don't know what, or they're more integrated, maybe. I don't know. I don't think it's like it was in the 70s, 80s, 90s, or aughts.
True.
Even.
Good point.
Because
yeah.
Everybody goes to everywhere now.
Yeah.
And, you know.
I remember when we were unique. I loved it then.
Remember when Valencia Street was owned by lesbians? There were two lesbian cafes, two lesbian bars. And we even had a hot tub place.
Amelia's, that's right, the hot tub place.
The Elbow Room, which was Amelia's.
Yes.
We had
yes.
The Artemis Cafe.
Right. Right.
Maybe it was just one bar and one cafe, but then we had the hot tub place that was such a mecca for women to find each other.
Uh-huh.
So it was where all the poor lesbians lived. The gay men lived in the Castro, and the poor lesbians
right.
lived on Valencia
the
Street.
The rents were a little better there. And yeah, it was a happening area. And the women's building was right...
Right on 18th.
Yeah.
Which it still is.
Right.
Yeah.
There was something everywhere.
Well, looking back on that time, the Valencia Rose was there on Valencia right around the corner from the women's building. It's the bicycle shop near between 18th and 19th, I think it is.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, what kinds of things happened? It was AIDS was coming about, and it was like 85, and you guys got together, you and Marga Gomez and Tom Amiano and Karen Williams and Doug Holslaw.
Right.
And I think Leah Delaria was part of that as well.
Kitty Cattell or Kelly Cattell.
And so, yeah, Kelly. I remember Kelly. And so what was that like to...
Oh,
to just get
so
up and do
exciting.
Jokes.
It was so exciting. I mean, we had this place where we could just be as gay as we want to be. Everyone told gay jokes, and the audience wanted gay jokes. They were hungry for it, and it was full. I mean, we'd do Friday nights and Saturday nights, and, I mean, I was high as a kite. I thought, I'm on my way. I'm rich and famous.
And, well, actually, you have a joke in... You know that joke that ends with, I don't ever want to be?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Do that joke.
I like to do gay and lesbian jokes because I don't ever want to be rich and famous. Yeah, and
which
it's,
is really
it's working.
A very operative idea. You know, that's really kind of what happened is you couldn't get rich and famous being out.
Right, it's working. But then AIDS hit, so yeah.
We needed a laugh.
Not only did they need a laugh, but... It put a lot of comedians through their own personal hoops. I mean, some of the comics had AIDS. There were a few guys that came up from L.A. But you'd walk out on stage and there'd be these men, sunken cheeks, sunken eyes, pale, losing hair, empty look in their eyes and blotches. And you'd be like, how the heck... Am I supposed to be funny? How? Oh, my God. You know, and I talk about this in my play, and some old idiot in the back would go, do your old stuff. They'll be dead in 6 months. And I'd be like, I'm going to kill you after the show, okay? But then you'd get on stage, and there they'd be. They wanted to laugh. They wanted some joy because they were all... Scared little boys, all of them.
Well, it was a death sentence.
Yes, it was. And I remember Dear Danny, who has gone now, but Danny Williams, he would tell me he's been to 4 funerals last weekend, and he has 3 more this weekend, and I just, How can you do it?
It was overwhelming.
Yeah. I mean, I had gay friends, but not that many men that I had to go to that many funerals. And
yeah. Well, you know, it's the 25th anniversary of ACT UP, and I've been looking at these photos from that time on Facebook from some of my friends, and, you know, it's pictures of women, pictures of lesbian women who are at the forefront of that, and it really was what brought the gay men and lesbians did not hang out.
Right.
Our bars were separate. Our neighborhoods were separate. And I think there was a sort of natural dislike of each other being same-sex oriented.
Mm-hmm.
And AIDS changed that. The gay rights movement did to some degree, but it was led by the men, and the women had the feminist movement, a la the lesbian feminist festivals and Karen Ripley show, Oh No, There's Men on the Land, opening May 1st at the Marsh in Berkeley. Mm-hmm. And so it brought us all together in some way, didn't it?
We had a common oppression, you might say. No, we didn't always like each other, but don't mess with my gay brother.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I know for a fact my gay brothers are not going to hurt me, okay?
Right.
You know, I could walk down Castro naked and no problem. You know, I'm just saying, in the world, they might be rude and they might be sarcastic, but they were my brothers. And then this kind of thing came about. We had made friends by then. We had too many pride events that brought us together.
Mm-hmm. And, well, and one fundraiser after another in those days.
Absolutely.
This was before AIDS was an actual, you know, an industry.
Correct. And Reagan wasn't doing a thing.
No, well, Reagan didn't even say the word AIDS.
Right.
So he completely ignored us. So it was a painful and powerful time for the community. But it was also, I think, it kind of helped birth gay comedy. Gay comedy wasn't known of as a thing. A little bit in New York, but really more, I think, in San Francisco, and kind of more related to AIDS. And so all of a sudden, you'd have bills with gay men and gay women on a comedy show together.
Mm-hmm.
But you still couldn't get into any of the clubs here in town. You couldn't perform or get booked. Did you ever try that? What was that like for you?
You know, I didn't really push that hard. There would be an event at the Punchline. Maybe it was a fundraiser of some sort. And I'd go on and do some stuff. But I did not expect them to, you know, call me back and...
But it was kind of a gay night, a gay fundraiser kind of thing.
It'd be like a gay night or a thing, you know...
That's what they like to do then.
Yeah.
Give us a gay night and a black night and an Asian night and a Latino night.
Well, KQED did a show. It was a television show.
Comedy Tonight.
Brian Copeland.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember coming on...
Oh, Brian Copeland's TV show, yeah.
Yeah, and I was the gay comic...
You were the gay comic.
Okay, and there was a disabled comic, a young blind man, and there was a woman, a Middle Eastern woman, Pakistani, I believe. And so we were three unique comedians. And it's true, we did tell jokes from our perspectives.
Right.
But it's sort of like, we're just people, come on.
Well, and I remember...
Many years ago.
In the earlier to mid-90s, I remember seeing you go down to the Punchline and get on stage. And I was always sort of curious back then. It was figure out, well, what material are you going to do? How are you going to talk about it? What are you going to open with? And I'd love it if you could do a little bit of a couple of the lines you used to open. You opened with at the Punchline once or twice.
I remember opening with, I'd walk on stage very deadpan, and I'd say, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking... God, I bet she's good in bed.
And it just killed.
It killed.
And people just like, they just were taken off. They're just like falling off their, immediately you just slayed them.
Right, and they'd be laughing. And I'd be like, so what are you laughing about? You know, like.
And then they'd laugh again.
Yeah, they'd laugh again.
And then you talked about trying to be in the closet once.
I talked about, you know, I don't know. I thought about going back in the closet and be a straight comic and make, you know, big money. There I was in Montana, put on a dress and heels and a push-up bra, and I could see the guys in the audience are going, who's the dyke in the dress? I mean, I could not hide my gayness. It oozes out of me. We all tried to hide it at times, but the only time I ever went in the closet was in Pocatello, Idaho. My gay uncle lived there, and he said, do not come out. He lived there. And it was the most disgusting, nervous... I couldn't be myself at all.
Right, that's kind of...
I have
people
nine...
would say, well, why don't you just be in the closet and do jokes about your boyfriend? Well, right. Because you don't feel funny, right?
Comedy comes from the heart. And if it doesn't come from the heart, go to
it's
bed.
It's not any good.
Get out of here.
You're a hack.
Come out of my heart. Yeah.
You're doing airplane jokes.
Yeah, I have nine children, and I have a baseball team now, and... No way.
Well, looking back, what... we'll look back in another minute. Let's look back to the 70s, actually, in Berkeley. So you find yourself, you had to make a living, right? You weren't making a living as a comic, and so you had to make a living, and you became a cook at the famous Brick Hut.
It was 1977. Elvis Presley died, and Harvey Milk is elected to San Francisco City Council. Here's your sink of hot soapy water. Here's your sink of clear rinse. Be sure to add a little rinse disinfectant there. If you need to smoke dope, do it out back. Help yourself to coffee. Be here at 5 a.m. and welcome to the Brick Hut. I washed dishes for 6 months, then became part owner. You see, Carlos was tired of the restaurant business and she wanted to sell. We, the crew, decided, well, maybe she'll sell it to us. Yeah, we'll be a worker-owned company, a collective. A collective is where 8 people share one salary. Everyone did dishes, waited tables. This is so Berkeley. Now, meeting after meeting after meeting. We were 7 lesbians and 1 straight man. The characters, oh my God, Gloria, curly, fiery orange hair, always in your face. I'm sick of these meetings. I'm going to have to jog 5 miles just to get this energy out of me. Harriet, the quiet genius, kept her opinions to herself, but she always fell in love with women alcoholics. You guys, I have to leave a little early because Artie's drinking. She hit her head on the armoire and she's bleeding. Maxwell, the one straight man, was tense. You'd be tense too, surrounded by 7 dykes. Winnie, she would sleep with anything in the East. She would sleep with a roast beef if it smiled at her. Okay. And we would argue and fight and have these terrible meetings. And I don't know, took me to the end of my rope. So they would scream and yell and say bad words. And I'd be out there going, hi, can I take your order? Yeah. Wheat, white or rye? I'm sorry, we don't serve orange juice. Well, because of Anita Bryant.
And many people don't remember that we didn't serve orange juice. You didn't serve orange juice because Anita Bryant was from the Florida Citrus Growers Association, and she was fighting gay people tooth and nail. She was a virulent right-wing.
Gay bars all over North America took screwdrivers off the menu. I don't know if they used apple juice or what, but nobody was buying it. We didn't have any... What power did we have?
That was the power.
And we go, okay, well, fine. And of course, people went nuts because they go, no, wait. Orange juice is our biggest profit maker. We're a breakfast joint.
Right.
You're crazy.
Well, you know, you look at 40 years later, 35, whatever years later, you're talking about Indiana and Pizza Parlor not serving gay weddings. You know, just ridiculous.
I know.
Hilarity.
It's still going on. I mean, now with the internet, you can shut a business down. You get enough people on your side.
Maybe.
No?
I don't know. You got the media. You got balance. Checks and balances. You got all kinds of other things going on.
Let's pick a company and shut them down.
But that's been pretty funny about Indiana. I mean, it really kind of blew up in their face, and they've had to backpedal ever since.
And how many people order pizza for their wedding? I mean, come on.
Well, that was the biggest joke about it, right?
Yes.
Gays have better taste than that. But maybe they know some people who would. I don't know.
Yeah.
Talk about... making lesbians laugh. I mean, why do you think lesbians of our generation are perceived as having no sense of humor? Are they a tough audience? Have they been a tough audience for you? Have
yes.
you had to deal with a lot of, I don't like this, and complaining and politically correct? And I mean, tell me about that.
My sense of that is when I first started coming out, and I like dirty jokes, quite frankly, and I always found sexual jokes and who we are quite funny as gay people. But lesbians, our stuff had been on the back burner for so long. The feminists were coming out. We were starting to get some momentum, and not our needs weren't getting met like the straight gals were necessarily. And finally, lesbians started pushing harder and harder, and we scared some of the feminists away. But we had not hated men, but we were just so fed up with the men running everything, running the house, running the business, running everything. And people had to get serious. In order to make a serious change, they had to get down. So if a man called you sweetheart, you'd have to stop right there and go, my name is not sweetheart. And you'd have to correct him. And it'd be like, God, she's a...
No sense of humor.
Absolutely. If I told a joke and said something about maybe a man's organ, they would hiss. Well, I thought it was funny, but they're going, we don't want to hear it. We don't want to hear about the scrotum. I can say that on the
or
radio.
Or penises or dildos.
Yes.
There.
We, you know.
They didn't want to hear about it.
No. We're discovering.
Even though it was funny.
We're trying to figure out who we are.
But you took some crap for that, is what you're saying.
I did. I didn't come out.
You're pretty open on stage about, you know, you'll say anything. It's really funny. And that's what a good comic does. They don't hold back. And they wanted to try to censor you?
Well, there's a wide variety, too, of women loving women. I mean, some women love women, and they lay side by side, and they burn candles, and they have sage. And you cannot have a dominant person that would be imitating a man-woman relationship.
Uh-huh.
Right. Well, I can't come on my side. So, you know, so then you have other women. You have your butch femme thing. And there was a time that there were, like, sex police back in the day where they would glare at you. Like, you're being too much like straight people. That's not who we are. We're recreating something new and different. Women equal women.
Which also led to a lot of non-monogamy, which also led to a lot of broken hearts and dyke drama, as we called it back then.
Absolutely.
I mean, we were trying not to repeat. And now look at us fighting for gay marriage or for marriage equality. And we want the marriage. And yet in those days, in the feminism of it, the politics were to get away from that coupling dynamic and be free to just love whoever we loved.
Right, right. Yeah, that pulled out of the 60s, the free love,
right,
open love thing. And then... And then it was sort of like everybody gets to whore around for a while, and now we're all getting married again. I don't know, but I felt bad for couples that had been together for years and could not legally get married. And then there were some of us that didn't really want to get married, but, you know.
We should have the right to.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
So you survived, you know, not being included in the mainstream comedy thing, and you've survived lesbian audiences. What's one of your favorite things that happened to you, if you remember doing one of the festivals, or maybe we go back to Michigan? You know, when did you feel like, wow, I've just killed? I've just gotten a 1,000 women to just melt. I've just really nailed it. You know, I'm just kind of curious if there's a highlight back in your head there, some other time.
You know, I think one of the most exciting times for me was. Believe it or not, there was a fundraiser at the Castro Theater, and the crowd went wild, and I was so new and so nervous. You know, I was the one that I had to wear a diaper or something, because I was such a nervous wreck at that time. But with Michigan, oh, my God, I flew there.
Oh, yeah, you have a piece from the show you're going to do for us.
Gerald Ford.
Wait, let me just quickly tell everybody, because I forgot. This is Karen Ripley. You're listening to Karen Ripley here on Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Karen's show, Oh No, There's Men on the Land, opens May 1st at the Marsh Theater in Berkeley, themarsh.org, KarenRipleyComic.com. Hit it, Toots.
Gerald Ford Airport, Grand Rapids. Betty Ford Cocktail Lounge. Sure are a lot of white people here. Come on, Annie. Annie's a singer. I'm a drummer. We're in an all-women's band called the Wombmates. They only let me sing one song because I go flat a lot, but Annie, God, she can harmonize. I could fart, and she could find a harmony. Anyway, we're going to this music festival. I mean, not just the women's music festival. Do you know what this means? It's like 5,000 women from all over the world coming to the woods, They share songs, poetry, philosophies, spirituality, sexual positions. You can dig a hole in the ground and bleed right into the earth like our ancient mothers. Cool, huh? Yeah. Back to the earth. That's what a lot of these festivals were about.
I remember one festival in New Mexico where I came of age where they were reading Shakespeare under a waterfall, and then they had a speculum workshop. I mean, it's different things, right? Well, the Our Bodies, Ourselves era.
Yes.
When women took control of their health.
And that was a great
when
book.
We had Roe v. Wade, and, you know, we finally got some reproductive rights and sexual rights, et cetera. Interesting. Again, Karen Ripley is my guest here on Out in the Bay. Please, her show, May 1st, it opens. It's on Fridays, and I think you're doing a Saturday. Friday's 8 p.m.
Friday's at 8 p.m., Saturday's at 5 p.m. for my older friends who don't like to drive in the dark and need to get home early.
Right.
Or go grab some dinner after the show right there in Berkeley.
5 p.m. on Saturdays and 8 p.m. on Fridays. It's at themarsh.org that you can find out more. Karen Ripley comic as well is how you find Karen. And it's called Oh No, There's Men on the Land. And it is just an hilarious journey through this lesbian feminist era and your life, really, the brick hut
it
and all the things you've gone
through.
Yeah,
I wanted to write something about Nazi Germany, something really exciting, and I ended up writing about myself. But keep in mind, too, that I really welcome young baby gays. Because there's a history here that
that's right.
A lot of them don't know anything about our history.
That's right. And so it is. And that's one of the things we try to do here on Out in the Bay. It's our 10th year. We've tried over these 10 years to bring you lots of history and to bring oral history. We've got lots of films. We've got lots of books. We've got some TV shows. But what we don't have is the oral history of the gay rights movement and the lesbian feminist era. And so that's what we try to do. And that's one of the reasons that Karen Ripley is here with me. It's one of the funniest comics I've ever seen. And the show is tremendous. So please. Check that out. Again, it's themarsh.org. Oh, no, there's men on the land. It opens May 1st. Karen, it's always a pleasure to see you and have you here.
I'll see you at the Oasis on Wednesday.
That's right. Thanks
That's
again.
Right. You betcha.
You're listening to Out in the Bay. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Please check out Karen Ripley at themarsh.org. We are celebrating our 10th anniversary with a party, as Karen just said, Wednesday, April 29th from 5 to 8 p.m. Yep, it's a happy hour party at the Oasis Nightclub. That's Heclina and Darcy Drollinger's club at 11th Street and Folsom in San Francisco. Heclina and Darcy have been gracious, graciously offered their club to us. For tickets, you just can go to outinthebay.org and you'll find out everything there, all the links. We're going to do a live taping of this radio show at the party. Eric and Jansen and I will play some of our favorite clips. We've got Ang Lee and Leslie Gore. We've got John Waters. We've got Judy Shepard, Matthew Shepard's mother. We've got Del Martin and Phyllis Lyon, the first married gay couple in 2004. We're also going to tell some of the gossip behind the interviews. You should hear some of these stories. It's wild, like how prickly Leslie Gore was when I said the word gay. Oh, my goodness. I thought, oh, my God, she's please, please talk to us. And so we're going to tell those stories. And when Ang Lee talked about making the sheep look sexy in Brokeback Mountain, we're going to tell all these stories and have a blast. And that's on April 29th at the Oasis and Nightclub here in San Francisco. We also have our new Out in the Bay t-shirts for sale only at the party. Yep, they're lavender. Who would have guessed? With our logo. And we're also going to have some live music from the San Francisco Gay Men's Chorus Lollipop Guild and singer Joshua Klipp. We've got two food sponsors, La Mediterranee. They're at Noe and Market in San Francisco. And we've got Bacon Bacon, the food truck and cafe. Jim Angelus is going to be providing the famous LGBT sandwiches. Yes, that's goat cheese, lettuce, bacon, tomato. You vegans can take the bacon off and give it to me. You can follow them on Twitter, BaconBaconSF. Lamed and Bacon Bacon, thanks very much, you guys. It's been really great to get this party going. So please, think about joining us on the 29th. It's underwritten in part by Schiff Hardin, a general practice law firm representing clients across the U.S. and around the world. Offices in 8 cities, including San Francisco. SchiffHardin.com. Thanks to Brad Payton and Richard Merck for their continual support. And thanks to Matt Martin and KLW for their support over these many years. Joanne Marr is our engineer. Thanks, Joanne. Eric Jansen and I produce and host this program. I'm Marilyn Pittman. Thanks for joining me. Thank you.